Welcome, players.
You're welcome.
Are you up for more Maller mayhem?
Yeah!
It's time now. Benny versus the Penny.
We know it is dear to your heart, but it is now week six in the NFL, and we have all your Sunday and Monday NFL handicapping information. It is the fifth hour with Ben Maller and David Gascon, but this is our Hardo Gambling Podcast. You have come to the right place if you're looking for some knowledge on these games. The way this works, all right, let me tell you something. The way we do this, okay? I will give you my opinion on all these games. You should not bet on every one of these games. The way I would like you to consume this podcast, if you're a gambler, all right, do your own homework. But if your research and my research lines up, then that is food for thought, and I believe you should go forward with a wager. All right? But don't just be a pushover and be like, oh, whatever Maller likes, I'm going to bet. No, 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 no. I'm giving you my educated opinion on what's going to happen. I spend way too much time. It's one of my hobbies here to look at the numbers and crunch the numbers. But as my friend Dick Stockton famously said years ago, I say friend, he was barely a friend. But Dick Stockton told me, he said, listen, stats tell you what has happened. They don't tell you what's going to happen, which is true. Which is true. So you can have all the numbers in front of you, but bizarre, crazy crap seems to happen and all that. But we will not be talking about the Bills, Colts, Bears, and Raiders. All of them are on the bye week this week, so they are all not playing. And Gascon, I would like you to talk slowly and loudly. I am as hot as fire right now. Not that I want to brag here, but this is a wake-up call. I mean, for people that are shitting on me, I have put the pedal to the metal so far this season, and I have put up a lot of cushion.
And the nice thing is that your listeners are always asking about you, your performances, and they also want to know about the Penny. And the Penny last week finished a blazing 11-3.
Now, nobody cares about the Penny. Nobody cares about it. I am destroying the Penny this year. I'm 52-26. I have a 667 against the spread documented record.
That's pretty good.
I know you cheer for the Penny because you're an idiot.
No, but you got screwed at a one game. That was your game, the Thursday night one from last week with a 41-yard field goal.
That was a bad beat, man. That killed me, man. I had that game, and they... But to be fair, I have won a couple of games that I had no business winning. So remember the Redskins scored a backdoor touchdown against Philly in week one. That came out of left field, and so they covered the number. All right, well, let's get to it here, Gascon.
I got to ask, though, is this your best start ever since Benny versus the Penny started in your career?
Yeah, it's right up there. It's hard. My memory is kind of, I try to forget about a lot of this stuff. But I would think it's hard to push back against that I've had some really shitty years. So I've been like 5 weeks in, I'm under 500, or I'm just 500. But to be at this point and have a record where you are, 26 games above 500 against the spread, that is... it's got to be. I can't remember a year where I was that far up at this particular point. Anyway, all right, first up, Carolina at Tampa Bay. It's in London. This is an NFL Network game. It starts at 9:30 in the East, but for those of us that live in the West, 6:30 in the morning, which means I will not be watching a second of this game. The NFL cares so little about this, they're having Rich Eisen, Kurt Warner, and Steve Mariucci call the game with Michael Irvin. It's on NFL Network at 6:30 in the morning. The game opened a pick'em. Now, Carolina is a 2.5 favorite, so it's essentially a neutral site game. The game is being played at Tottenham's Hotspur Stadium in London, if that does anything for you. The weather calls for rain showers and 62 degrees Fahrenheit at kickoff. I'm going to take Carolina in this game, and I'll tell you why. Number one, after the signature win over the Rams, the Buccaneers, they came tumbling back to Realityville last week against the New Orleans Saints. Now they are in another divisional Donnybrook against Carolina. Both these teams will be on vacation next week after they come back from London. So they're both looking at a bye week. All right, this will be a rematch of week two. And Tampa Bay won that game. It was ugly. That was a Cam Newton special, 20-14. And if you watch that game, Cam Newton was the reason the Panthers lost. So you love Carolina in a revenge spot, and now they have a legit quarterback as well, which is another reason to give you the daily double here to like the Carolina Panthers. And after losing the first two games of the year with Cam Newton, Carolina now has reeled off three straight victories, all of them under the tutelage of Kyle Allen at quarterback, and he is just the third Carolina quarterback all time to win each of his first three NFL starts. The other ones to do it, you know who they are?
I'm going to say Kerry Collins and Jake Delhomme.
Well, half right. Jake Delhomme is correct. The other one is now a blowhard on LA radio, Rodney Peete.
Oh, shit.
How about that? That's a long time ago, man.
I think you're going to say like Steve Berline or something like that.
Well, we could throw him in there. But this Kyle Allen, he's not just along for the ride here. He's not sitting in the back of the bus. He's in the front of the bus. Allen is fourth in the entire NFL in quarterback rating. Now, I expect this to be a close game. Most divisional games are close. But the key here is I'm going to put my money on Christian McCaffrey and the fact that up until this point, Kyle Allen, knock on wood, has not thrown an interception. Panthers will pull away late. Panthers 34, Bucks 24.
I don't know what the hell you just knocked on, but it wasn't wood. Anyways, Penny's going with the Panthers as well.
I can't afford real wood, so it's a fake wood. All right. Next up, don't judge me.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't judge me. All right, Cincinnati 0-5 at Baltimore 3-2. It is a CBS game with Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon. The Ravens opened up an 8.5-point favorite. They are favored by 11.5. It's going to be partly sunny, 66 degrees at kickoff at M&T Bank Stadium in Donald Trump's favorite city of Baltimore, Maryland. I am going to take Cincinnati, and I don't love doing this, but you have to do it. I have to stick to my principles as a gambler, and so I'm going to take Cincinnati. But first of all, it is always risky to bet on bad teams. However, if you do this a lot, there is value. These are the orphans of the NFL. You want to be on the side of the bookie. No one's going to bet on the Cincinnati Bengals. Why would you? But this is actually a good spot for the Bengals. Why? The Ravens are coming off an overtime game against an arch rival in their division, Pittsburgh, and they have to take on the Seahawks next week. So this is what's known as, sandwich game, right? This is now, it's a divisional game, but it's still a sandwich game because you had a key divisional game with Pittsburgh. Hard-fought overtime game. You got a showcase game against the Seahawks next week. And again, nobody bets on the Bengals. Nobody gets up for Cincinnati. The Bengals and Ravens have actually split 46 meetings all time. And the Bengals, as miserable as they've been, have won two of the last three meetings, eight of the last 11. I know it's a different Bengal team. They're terrible. I get that. But I'm on the side of Cincinnati. And secondly, the other thing here is quietly, Lamar Jackson has regressed. All that hoopla, hand him the MVP after 2 weeks, that's calmed down. Last 2 weeks, Lamar Jackson's the 27th ranked quarterback in the NFL. The last 4 weeks, Lamar Jackson's the 29th ranked quarterback in the NFL. So life is, it's really that first game against Miami that he was lighting the world on fire. And he's come back crashing down to earth. And so now he obviously has the running ability, and the Bengals are a sloppy tackling team, which does give me a little pause here. Like Lamar Jackson could run for 170 yards in this game and kill you. Cincinnati, they have been next to the Dolphins, the worst team in football, because they have only led for a little over 51 minutes of game time, second lowest in the NFL. You know how many minutes the Miami Dolphins have had the lead?
I'm going to say 4 minutes.
Close. Less than 4 minutes. 3 minutes and 47 seconds. Heading into week six. That is craziness. But, assuming that the Bengals actually put in an honest effort, Gascon, which is a big assumption, right? I mean, that's a big assumption. I would think that Andy Dalton he's fine in non-primetime games. And the Ravens' pass defense is not as good as advertised, so it behooves one to bet on the Bengals. You got to cover your eyes here, close your mouth, the whole thing, and take the Bengals to cover. Ravens 24, Bengals 17.
I mean, it's like you're drinking Pepto every time you take a bad team. Penny's going with the Ravens. You've done this the last 3 or 4 weeks. You started off with Miami and Cincinnati in weeks 1 and 2.
Cincinnati did cover week 1, dummy.
I know.
They covered against Seattle, so that wasn't a bad bet. Okay. And the Redskins, I have won money with the Redskins.
No, Dolphins.
Philly.
Dolphins.
No, but the Redskins against Philly, they covered also.
God.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
You're such a hater, man.
You're
such a hater. Why can't I get a Bennett to work with me? A real cheerleader. A positive Bennett.
That could be arranged. We got plenty of listeners on the streets.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Wow. All right, next up, Seattle at Cleveland, and it is on Fox. And we've got Chris Myers, our former colleague, with Daryl Moose Johnston there. The Browns opened up a 2.5-point favorite. Then everyone saw them play Monday Night Football, and ta-da! Seattle is now a 2-point favorite, last I saw here. And this is at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, not corporately named at all, partly sunny. And a mild, tepid 61 degrees. That is beautiful weather for Cleveland. Just wait another month or two and see what the weather's like. But the pick is in, and I am going to take... Oh, boy. You're gonna give me shit for this. I'm taking the Cleveland Browns here. And I'll tell you why. Russell Wilson has been wonderful, but more importantly, he's been lucky. And luck doesn't normally continue. Seattle has stolen 2 games by my count. I already mentioned the Bengal game week 1 where Cincinnati had over 200 more yards of offense and they somehow managed to lose that at the end. And then you got the Legatron missed field goal. In other words, imagine what the public perception of Seattle would be if instead of having that shining 4-1 record, the Seahawks had a 2-3 record. Which is what their record would be had those games gone the other way. And I don't know, ifs and buts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day. But, I mean, you got to factor that in here, and this would be a tremendous value play. And the way I look at that, those are essentially losses for me, for Seattle in those 2 games here. The public's also loading up in Seattle. You love to bet against the public when they load up on these teams. Now, part B, Baker Mayfield is the bottom of the barrel. Whatever's behind your toilet, that is how he is doing. He's not even a run-of-the-mill quarterback. All right, he is pouring bleach down his throat every time he plays here in most of these games. He has a dreadful 68.5 passer rating. To put that in perspective, only Luke Falk and Josh Rosen have been worse from the Jets and Dolphins, respectively. It really is reached critical mass here for Mayfield. The contrast this week is stunning. Russell Wilson's been the top-rated quarterback this season. The Browns, they're coming off a bye. They've also got the bye week next week, I should say. So there is some question about how focused they're getting. Sometimes, you know, the day before school ends or a vacation, you're just kind of going through the motions and all that. But all that said, you bet on Cleveland in this spot because when the opposing team has little pass rush, Baker Mayfield will do well. The Ravens had no pass rush. Now, Seattle's got some big names on defense, but they have not been a top-notch team at getting to the quarterback. So a lot of chubba-lub-lub running the ball for the Brownies here. Home field and all that, and I will take... The Cleveland Browns, they'll win the game outright in a surprise, a stunner, and they say the Browns are back. They'll finally throw the ball to Odell Beckham. Browns 24, Seahawks 21. Bounce back.
Looking for their first home win of the season. Penny's also going with the Browns.
Oh, yeah, interesting. You were mocking me, and then the Penny agreed.
Right, that's not a bad team, though. They're not a bad team like Miami.
The Browns are a bad team. They're playing like a – I mean, did you see the game against the 49ers?
Yeah, they got punched in the face repeatedly.
I mean, like they look like the Bengals. They didn't want to play there. It's ridiculous. Bunch of jokes. Anyway, all right, moving on.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's get trivial. You ready to get less trivial?
Let's do it.
Let's get trivial. All right. Which quarterback leads the NFL with 6 miscommunications with his receivers? So the most disconnect between the quarterback. Now, this is according to the advanced statistics of the NFL, so I don't know if I believe this or not. How do they judge what a miscommunication is? But they say this quarterback has had 6. That is the most of any one quarterback in the NFL. We'll give you the answer coming up in a couple of minutes. Next up, this is one of the showcase games this weekend for me. Houston 3-2 at Kansas City 4-1. It is on CBS with Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts. The Chiefs opened up an 8.5-point favorite, but the public is flocking to Houston. They can't bet on them enough. Give me the Texans, they're all saying. The forecast at Arrowhead, sunny, 56 degrees at kickoff with beautiful barbecue smells in the air. Oh, God. What a fine city. I love Kansas City. It's one of my favorite cities. Just the barbecue. People are nice, too. All right, a couple of things. I'm going to take the Chiefs here. I'll tell you why. Now, who are the real Houston Texans? Betting on the Texans is a crapshoot. Last game against a morbid Falcons team, the Texans had 10 plays of 20 or more yards. That's the most in their franchise's history. But a lot of that was a byproduct of Atlanta not being interested, right? And it just kind of going through the motions and all that stuff. And that sound of their playbook there. The Falcons, no defensive intensity. And Deshaun Watson had a record-breaking day, and we will give him that. But he's like a human yo-yo, this guy. Against the malingering and banged-up Chiefs defense, you figure he's going to play well, but he struggled mightily against Jacksonville, which does not have a top-notch defense. Also had problems against the Carolina Panthers, Deshaun Watson did. And the second thing, the big part of this is we need Patrick Mahomes, I do, to snap out of the funk. Mr. Automatica has not been Mr. Automatica in recent games. He's had a couple of duds. You can say the law of averages, he was due for that, but against the Lions and the Colts, not nearly the supernova, the force multiplier that he has been so far. And the excuse band is like, well, let's strike up the band, he's hurt, blah, 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 blah. Last 2 weeks, Mahomes is the 20th ranked quarterback in the NFL. 20th. That's your MVP. The Chiefs have a short week. This is the one thing that scares me about Kansas City. They have a short week. They play Denver in 4 days after this game, which is not the ideal setup. Nevertheless, you like the hungry team coming off a loss. That's Kansas City suffering defeat, the agony of defeat for the first time. So, like a boomerang, Kansas City comes back around. They ain't losing back-to-back games. This will be a shootout, but I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes and his weaponry. Chiefs 37, Texans 31, plus Kansas City's getting some guys back.
You just hate Deshaun Watson, so the penny is going with the Texans.
I don't know that hate's the right emotion.
You are disgusted with Deshaun Watson.
I'd like to point out that he's overrated. Overrated.
I'm surprised you didn't call Deshaun Watson that stuff in the back of your toilet. And that's how much disgust and angst you have for a guy like him.
Well, I know you love him. You're a big jock sniffer. I understand. You're a fanboy. I get it. It's tough to work with a guy like me. I crucify everyone. You know how I am.
Yeah, right.
New Orleans 4-1 at Jacksonville. How about them Jags, you say? How about them Jags? Jacksonville losing last week to the Carolina Panthers. So they have a 2-3 record now after that performance. The 2-3 record. I am going to, this game's on CBS, by the way, Greg Gumbel and Trent Green. The Jags opened a 1.5-point favorite. They're favored by 1. It's going to be mostly sunny and hot, 83 degrees at kickoff at TIAA Bank Field, whatever that is. That's the place in Jacksonville with the pool. I'm going to take the Jags. I'm going to take Gardner Minshew and company here. Now, first of all, listen, Teddy Bridgewater, I look like a complete donkey. I did a monologue about how the Saints were in trouble with Bridgewater and all this. I really believe that. He has been much better than anticipated. He's 3-0 as a starter this year. He's completed at least 70% of his passes in a remedial passing game that the Ravens or the Saints have been running here. He's the first Saints quarterback in history to have three starts, to win his first three starts while completing 70% of his passes. So this is a historic start, but it is a dumbed-down playbook. There's very few exotic plays. Hey, it's working, right? Stupid. It don't fix it. It's working. I get it. But is that going to work this week? Just because it's worked in past weeks doesn't mean it's going to work this week. It is a road game. Secondly, the Jags are looking to bounce back. Remember, we like the teams coming off a loss to bounce back. Late loss to Carolina last week. Now, one thing that has been reliable is Gardner Minshew II. He has 1,004 passing yards and no interceptions in his first four career starts. Now, to put that in perspective, we used this the other night on the radio show, but Gardner Minshew now joining Dak Prescott as the only other quarterback in NFL history to have at least 1,000 yards and no interceptions in his first four career starts. He's been that good. Now, I expect an off week from the Saints. Just a feeling I have here. It's a have a hunch, bet a bunch. I love the unique Gardner Minshew mania and all that with the guts and the guile. Very accurate. The most important skill is accuracy for a quarterback. And you also have Leonard Fournette as well, a top-notch running back who I believe has been the top running back in the second half of games, mainly because of that Bronco game in the NFL. Jacksonville will win this game. Jaguars 24, Saints 13.
Penny likes the stash as well, going with the Jags.
All right, next up, Philadelphia. Philly. At who? That would be the Minnesota Vikings. Actually, before we get to that, have I paid off the...
No.
I don't think I've paid off the...
I was waiting for you to do that.
That's a bad job by me. All right, let's get trivial. So the question was, which quarterback leads the NFL with six miscommunications with his receivers? Go ahead, Gascon.
At first, I thought this question was based off of Deshaun Watson, but after further review, I'm going to say it is Captain Kirk Cousins.
Not a bad guess. It's not Deshaun Watson. It's not Kirk Cousins. Believe it or not, according to the advanced NFL statistics, it is Patty Mahomes.
Oh, wow.
Patrick Mahomes of Kansas City has had six miscommunications with his receivers, and followed by Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota, and even Aaron Rodgers is on this list.
Now, did you look at that stat based on per game, or was it just a body of work?
No, it's not. It's not per game. I believe it's total. Which, see, I agree with you. I looked at that. I said that seems pretty low. I think that everyone would have miscommunications more than six. You know,
yeah.
And how's Josh Rosen? You'd think Rosen would be up there. He looks like he has no idea what his receivers are.
Doesn't look like he knows who his receivers are.
It looks like the receivers are running one playbook and he's running the other playbook. You know, it's pretty wild. All right, next up, Philadelphia, as I said, at Minnesota, 3-2 versus 3-2 on Fox with our friend, Mallard Militia Man, Kenny Albert, friend of the show, and Charles Davis, a great guy. I love Charles Davis, the voice of Madden. We used to have him on all the time when I did daytime radio on the weekends. So the Vikings opened up a three-point favorite. They are currently favored by 3. Now, it's going to be cloudy and 40 degrees at kickoff outside the stadium, but inside U.S. Bank Stadium, it'll be fine. It'll be perfectly fine. There's nothing to worry about here. The pick is in. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings in this game. I'm going to take a swing with Minnesota. Couple of reasons why. All right. Which Kirk Cousins is going to show up? He was back playing like a guy with surgical precision last week against the Giants. In fact, he was so good, he got a presidential congratulatory phone call from President Donald Trump. Did you see that, Gascon?
No. When did it happen?
Trump called Kirk Cousins on Sunday after his game against the Giants to congratulate him on the win.
You're going to piss off a lot of your listeners.
Why?
You mentioned Trump, people get triggered.
Well, I know the snowflakes don't like that. I think that's fascinating, man, because it's a regular season game. Like Trump, apparently Cousins golfed with Trump a while ago, and so they're boys a little bit.
Okay.
But I mean, still, I mean, you remember when I was a kid, it was like a big thing if you won the Super Bowl or the World Series, the president would call and talk to the coach and say, good job by you and all this stuff. It was a tradition in America.
Yeah.
Stopped years ago, but a regular season game. Well, the good news here for Kirk Cousins is while the Eagles are a winning team, which is a problem, Philadelphia is also 27th in the NFL in pass defense, which you figure should bode well for the Vikings offensively. Now, that said, the Eagles became the first team with 10 sacks and 2 defensive touchdowns in a single game in NFL history just last week. But there is an asterisk next to that. You know why there's an asterisk?
Tell me why.
Because they played the Jets and Luke Falk. So it wasn't like a real – it was like playing the JV. You run up the score. It was a money game early in the year in college football. My main reason to like Minnesota and be on that side here is the matchup, the mental side of gambling, which we often bring up. I bring this up. I believe in this mojo. Philadelphia has a matchup next week against the Cowboys. Now, if you don't know anything about the Eagle franchise, this is a massively important game. The Eagle-Cowboy rivalry is insane, right? The people of Philadelphia, the whole city, the whole community, and it's big for the players also, and that's the only other threat to Philadelphia in the NFC East. The Giants are a joke. The Redskins are an embarrassment. So it's really the Cowboys or Eagles. There's a two-horse race in that division. So what does that mean? That means that makes this game a peekaboo game, right? Peekaboo. You get caught looking ahead, and surprise. Plus, the Eagles are the popular pick by popular people in Joe Public. I like betting on the side of the bookie. I like betting against the public. There's a lot of green on green here financially. You toss in Dalvin Cook, who has 742 scrimmage yards through 5 games, the second most by a Viking through 5 games since Adrian Peterson in his MVP year back in the day. And Philadelphia's got a good run defense, but they've played some teams that don't run the ball that well at all. I believe the Vikings will have a feel-good week, a surprise. Philly gets caught peeking ahead. Vikings 30, Eagles 23.
That number 3, Penny likes Philadelphia on the road.
All right, well, there you go. Enjoy Philadelphia. Next up, Washington 0-5 at Miami 0-4. This game should not be televised, but it will be televised. It's on Fox, so you better not watch. Who's calling this game, Gascon? You want to take a guess?
I'm going to say for $1 million, is it Dick Stockton?
No, shocker of shockers, it's not Dick Stockton. I thought the same thing. Sam Rosen.
Oh.
Sam Rosen's got to call this game. Poor Sam Rosen. I know he's getting paid a lot of money with Rondé Barber.
No, hold on. Real quick, Ben. I know that obviously this is a pick'em game for you in terms of betting and whatnot, but
yeah.
a sports book in Las Vegas actually sends us out weekly lines for games and prop bets. Yeah. And at the title of this game, it's called the Ineptitude Bowl. That is what it is. It says, yeah. Will the Redskins or Dolphins game will end in a tie? And there's actually a bet that you can make +1,200 for yes, it'll end in a tie, -2,500 that'll end with one team winning it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would call it the Suck Bowl because they both suck. They are terrible.
I can't believe you capped this game.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Redskins, there's money to be made here. You know, you can win just as much money betting on this game as you can betting on the primetime games.
Right.
Miami, as a home team coming off a bye week, the Redskins they opened up a 6.5-point favorite. Somehow the public is betting on the Dolphins. And the Redskins are down to a 3.5-point favorite at Hard Rock Stadium. The forecast calls for partly sunny, 84 degrees, typical Miami weather this time of the year. And I'm going to take the Redskins in this game. I'm going to bet on the Redskins. Now, a couple things here. I won't spend a lot of time on this. But number one, I did see the interim coach. Now, Bill Callahan is going to make his debut on the sidelines. Jay Gruden was giving the boot, kick to the curb, thrown overboard, whatever you want to say. Callahan has cut out music in practice. He has attempted to lay down the lumber to get this Redskins team more focused, doing some old school coaching techniques. I also saw where Case Keenum is going to get the ball to start this game. He's actually the best of the quarterbacks for the Redskins, which isn't saying much. He's also played better on the road than he has at home. Miami's defense, I mean, they suck at everything. You know, the Dolphins, I saw this stat. I had to look at this 3 times. The Dolphins' defense are allowing opponents to convert 57.8% of their third downs.
Oh, Jesus.
Almost 60% of the time, if you on third down, you get a first down.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, oh, man. All right. Secondly, now listen, both these teams want to lose. I get that. The franchises, although the Redskins fired their coach, they still, it is the suck ball, as we said. The Dolphins also get to play the, think of the Dolphins. They get to play the Jets two times and the Bengals. So the NFL schedule gods are really making it difficult for Miami to go 0-16, right? I mean, that would be the greatest 0-16 of all time. If they lose two to the Jets, they lose to the Bengals and the Redskins. Right? Those are five winnable games. Now, I admit, this is a winnable game for the Dolphins. But I mean, the idea that you could have any kind of money on the Dolphins, I left that. I'm off them after the first couple of weeks here. Brian Flores and the Dolphins and Josh Rosen look like they've never played football before. Right? Never played not firing on all cylinders, firing on no cylinders is the Miami Dolphins here. The Dolphins have a minus 137 point differential. That is the lowest mark in NFL history, and somehow people are still betting on them. The public is loading up. The public is stupid. The public are idiots. Redskins 27, Miami 16. Hail to the Redskins. Hail to victory.
You spent 5 minutes on that game.
I know, I did.
Betty's going with the Redskins as well.
That is money to be made, guess count.
That is unbelievable.
All right, shut up. Don't judge me. The last part of this, we have the late games. All right, Santa Clara. The Santa Clara 49ers at 4-0 at the Los Angeles Rams at 3-2. It is on Fox, and yes, David, our guy, Dick Stockton, is calling this game, which is actually not a bad game.
Yeah.
This is not a bad game. I believe it's because Joe Buck and Aikman only work one game this week because it's not the Fox America's Game of the Week. So I think that's why Stockton gets to do this game. But it's Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth, and the Rams opened a 5-point favorite. They are favored by 3. I was going to be at this game, but I assumed the Dodgers were going to be in the National League Championship Series, so I could not go. I had some other things I had to do. Too late now, so I will not be able to attend this. But the forecast, 77 and mostly sunny in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. I'm going to take the Rams here, and a couple reasons why. Now, first of all, the 49ers are coming off a short week, so day less to get ready for this. The Rams have had extra rest. Remember, they last played last Thursday. So you've got the fresher team with the Rams. The game should be a bit of a track meet. Over the last 3 weeks, the Rams and Niners are the NFL's most prolific offensive teams in yards per game. Santa Clara has a better defense, I'll give you that, but they have given up over 100 yards more per game on the road than at home. And this is a much bigger game for the Rams to get some credibility back. Everyone's shitting on them to get some swagger back and make up for that idiot kicker, the Mr. Greg the Leg and Legatron blowing it and pulling a Kershaw at the end of that game in Seattle. So it's the first back-to-back losses in the Sean McVay era. Secondly, the Niners are getting their toes licked by everyone in the media, the NFL media elite. Niners are the toast of the NFL. They have been fawned on all over. At some point, that does affect your biorhythms here. And I know they took the soul out of Baker Mayfield last week and all that, but this week is a more of an even matchup against what should be a hungry, hungry dog. The Los Angeles Rams here, even though they're favored. My theory is the short week, also some key injuries now starting for the 49ers here. A couple of key guys are out. They have three guys up front on the defensive line that are really good. Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, DeForest Buckner are legit. But Sean McVay is supposed to be the evil genius and all that. I play a hunch, bet a bunch, as we say. You can ram it all day and you can ram it all night. The Rams are back. You're damn right. Rams 34, 49ers 28.
Penny also going with the Rams. Here's an extra nugget for you too, Ben. Sean McVay is 10-1 as Rams coach with extra time to prepare and 8-1-1 against the spread.
Oh, look at you doing some research.
I was just trying to, add a little something since the Penny was on fire last week. So.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get trivial. You want to get trivial?
Let's do it.
Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, has thrown for at least 300 yards in three consecutive games – all of them Falcon losses. Only three quarterbacks have ever done this in four consecutive games. It's only happened three guys in the history of the NFL over four games have had 300 yards. Their team has lost every game. Phillip Rivers in 2015 for the Chargers. Bill Kenny for Kansas City back in the 1980s, 1983. Who is the third? The third quarterback to pass for at least 300 yards, three consecutive games, and have their team lose all of them? The answer coming up in a bit. Well, speaking of Matt Ryan, the Falcons, Atlanta 1-4 at Arizona 1-3-1. It's on Fox with Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman in the Fox Box That Rocks calling this particular game. And boy, what a slowdown this is. Atlanta and Arizona, this is as bad as the Redskins and the Dolphins. Man, PU, what stinks. Falcons open a 2.5-point road favorite. I believe that number is the same. I've got it here. It's 2.5 currently as we're doing this in real time. It'll be sunny and 86 degrees at kickoff outside State Farm Stadium. I assume everyone will be happy. Air conditioning inside. I'm going to take the Cardinals here, and I'll tell you why. Atlanta has left an impression in me that they are just going through the motions. Like, they're not interested. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because Dan Quinn, the coach, doesn't rule with a rod of iron and the players are walking all over him. But the Cardinals are a bad team, but they're trying. They suck, but they're trying. And Atlanta, I don't even know how much they're trying. The check engine light has come on the dashboard there, and no one seems to be concerned about looking under the hood. Dan Quinn is hanging on by his fingernails, the ends of his fingernails there. It has been a disaster. The Falcons have the toxic brew going. They are in a poor state of repair, bad at the basics, just like the simple things in football, blocking and tackling. They're bad at those things, blocking and tackling. Part B here. This pick is not so much of my confidence in Arizona. I want to be very clear. I'm not on the Cardinal bandwagon. They're a bad team. I don't believe Kyler Murray is all that good. Some people are impressed by his inflated passing statistics because the Cardinals in most of these games have been blown out. So don't lose sight of that. And certainly, Arizona could certainly lose this game very easily. But in reality, this selection is just betting against the Falcons, right? That's it. I'm just betting against the Falcons. I don't trust them. They're just soft as soft can be. They serve soft serve ice cream. That's what they serve up. They get outworked. They get outplayed. They are sloppy, penalty-filled mess. And you're taking a home dog against a team like that? I'm going to take the home dog is what I'm going to do. Cardinals, 40. Falcons, 38 in a shootout.
Penny loves Kyler Murray in this spot. Going with the Cardinals.
Yeah, loves him. Alligator Arms Murray, the Oompa Loompa of the NFL. Let's get trivial the answer. I mentioned Matty Ice, 300 yards passing, three consecutive games, all Atlanta losses. Only three quarterbacks have ever done this in four straight games. Phillip Rivers in 2015 for the old San Diego Chargers. Bill Kenny for Kansas City in 1983 are two of them. Who is the third, Mr. Gascon?
I'm going to go with a former Colt and Falcon, Jeff George.
Jeff George, that's not bad. Jeff George put up numbers in games, and the team usually lost, and the wheels were turning, but they weren't going in the right direction. No, it is not him. It is here's a good name from the past, Matt Schaub.
Remember Matt Schaub? Oh, wow, yeah. Atlanta Falcon, Houston Texan.
Yeah, he did this in Houston in 2010. Do you know I have Matt Schaub's phone number? You know that?
Why?
He was a guest on Fox Sports Radio and when he was the Texans quarterback, and he gave me I guess he wanted to be on again. He liked the promotion, as I remember.
Now, let me ask you, his name in your phone, is it Matt Schaub or is it Mr. Pick Six?
I don't even know. Well, here's the thing. Once a number goes in my phone, it's in there forever. When I die, all these there are a lot of people. We should do this on the other podcast, but like when somebody dies, I never take their name out. I don't do that.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah, I just leave it in there. That's like my tribute to them. Like sometimes I'll see people's names that passed away. I'm like, I remember that person. I have a fond memory of that person. So it's my memorial to them. They're in my phone for life. All right. It's like once you're in the family, you're in the family for life.
How morbid is that?
I know. All right, Dallas 3-2 at the New York Jets 0-4. It's on CBS. Can you believe that Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are going to be doing this game?
Yes, I can. The Jets were supposed to be decent this year, but who knows about Mono and Adam Gase and all this shit that's going on with the Jets.
Yeah, they are a disaster. The Cowboys opened a 7-point favorite. They are a 7.5-point favorite in this game. It'll be mostly cloudy, 66 degrees at kickoff outside of MetLife Stadium there in Jersey. And you're going to kick me in the nuts here, Gascon, but I got to do it. I'm going to spit in the ocean. I'm going to take the Jets. I am going to take the Jets here. And let me try to explain my side of this. Let me give my elevator pitch on why the Jets are the right side. Okay? Here's what I'm going to do. Number one, the Cowboys are like a falling comet in the sky. It has been an eye-opening couple of weeks. Now, I realize they played better competition, but Dak Prescott can say, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? Prescott passed for a career-high 463 yards in a blowout loss in garbage time against the Packers last week, but he was intercepted 3 times. That matched a career high. And Dak Prescott has been shaky here. He started out wonderfully, and now he's beginning to wet the bed as the season's gone on. In fact, the last 4 weeks, Dak Prescott is back to where he's always been. He's the 19th-ranked quarterback in the NFL, which is where I put him in that 17 to 20 range, somewhere in that area, maybe 15 when he plays well. The last 2 weeks against the Packers and the Saints, Dakota Prescott is the 25th-ranked quarterback in the NFL. So that gives you pause on the Cowboys. And two, listen, the Jets suck. They're terrible. They should clear the decks. I understand all that, right? Sell the team down the river. Adam Gase is crazy eyes. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. They've paid a trip to the dark side. I get all that. But you're talking about a home team getting 7.5. Sam Darnold's coming back from mono. It's going to be his mono game as he bounces back. This looks too easy. And if something looks too easy in gambling, right, other than the betting against the Dolphins, there is no such thing as a sure thing. You would assume, obviously, that the perfect pick here would be the Cowboys, right? If they don't steamroll, gangrene, heads should roll, something is broken, blah, 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 blah. How big a mismatch is this? The second half of last week's loss to the Packers, the Cowboys put up 348 total yards. That is 1.5 times the total yards the Jets have managed the last 2 games combined. All right? But that was with Luke Falk. And Dallas had 32 first downs against Green Bay. The Jets have 28 first downs in their last 3 games combined. But I expect this to be more of a cat and mouse situation here. Not only because of Sam Darnold coming back, there's some other injured Jets that are going to come back. The Cowboys also are in the old peekaboo situation because they have the Eagles, a blood rival, division rival, big game, look ahead. Now, I believe the Cowboys will win this game, but it because the Jets are a comedy of errors, it's a comedy show, but I'm going to close my eyes, cover my ears, shut my mouth, predict a couple of Dak Prescott mistakes here. It's the life of the gambler. Cowboys will win. Cowboys 24, Jets 23. Actually, 24-20. I'm at 23.
Penny thinks the Jets get their first win of the season. It's going with the New York Jets.
I'm not going that far. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. I'm just putting my toe in the Kool-Aid. I'm not going all in. All right, let's keep it going. We got to keep this thing moving. Tennessee at Denver. It's on CBS. Andrew Catalan and James Lofton have the call. Game open to pick 'em. Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. It'll be sunny and 69 degrees at kickoff in the Mile High City at Empower Field at Mile High, not corporately named at all. The pick is in, and the pick is I'm going to take Tennessee. Now, I don't love this pick, but these teams to me are very similar teams. First of all, the Broncos picked up their maiden victory under their new coach, Vic Fangio, against the Chargers in Los Angeles last week. That was a nice Band-Aid covering up a wound that has been the start of this season. And now some are saying a sleeping giant has now awoken from hibernation and blah, 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 blah. And then Denver's going to roll off a bunch of wins. And They've popped the seal. I don't believe it. I'm not buying. I don't think this is a very good team. I think this is a middling team. Now, to be fair, this is a very winnable game for Denver. They're at home. Tennessee is a up and down team. They're a kaleidoscope team. They're all over the place. I just don't trust Joe Flacco. Of course, I don't trust the other quarterback either. The second thing here, Tennessee is a hard team for me to get a read on. Because Marcus Mariota, if you look at just the stats and you don't put your eyeballs into this, if you look at the numbers, Mariota does not turn the ball over, okay? His numbers look very impressive. But when you actually watch him, he's about as tough as cotton candy, right? The Titans zig when they're supposed to zag. They zag when they're supposed to zig. The Titans have turned the ball over just one time this season, and yet they have a losing record. I mean, that's hard to do. Normally, if you don't turn the ball over, you're just going to win most of the time. And they have turned the ball over just once, and yet they're the sixth team in the Super Bowl era with one or no turnovers through five games, and yet they have a losing record. We often preach about how you try to take into account a lot of these different factors and whatnot, like motivation, scheduling, and whatnot. And a lot of that is in play here. All right, let me explain. So the Broncos have a look-ahead peekaboo game with the Chiefs next week. That is they're rivals, Kansas City and Denver. That's a big game for them, divisional game. Not a divisional game this weekend. The key for the Titans, all right, Cameron Wake. Now, this guy is questionable. We don't know if he's going to play or not. This is a crossroads game for me. Like, Tennessee is at a fork in the road. Get back to 500, go to 3-3. You're not great. You're average at 3-3, but you still got some skin in the game. At 3-3, you still got some skin in the game. But you lose this game, and suddenly you're under 500. You got the Chargers next week, which is another game you can lose. And the snowball from hell starts happening. So I'm going to, against my better judgment, take Tennessee here to get back to 500. And Titans, 19. Broncos, 16.
They've lost two heartbreakers at home. Penny's going with the Broncos.
Going with the Denver. You're a big Bronco fanboy, right? That's your deal? Dealio?
I retired from rooting for teams.
That's a lie.
After 2014.
Certainly wear a lot of hats, I see. I mean,
I own a lot of hats. You have a lot of bad team attire from listeners that are giving you clothes throughout the years. Shirts and hats.
I have a nice collection. I have a nice collection. All right, let's move on. Sunday night.
Wait. You're going to pay off one of my bets, don't you? Or one of your teases?
What was that? Oh, did I have another tease I didn't pay
did
off?
You?
No, I did not. I did the Matt Schaub thing. That was the last one I did, dummy.
Bad job by me.
How dare you? It is a bad job. Thanks for listening. Is that boring? What are you, smoking a cigarette over there? What the hell are you doing? What are we doing?
No.
You got your bong out? I mean, my God.
I got some Justin's peanut butter cups. That's all I got.
Oh, is that right?
From Whole Foods. These cost, there's like 10 of them inside this bag. From Whole Foods, they cost like
$7. $7.
Yeah.
Seven for ten, is that?
Oh, yeah, for Reese's Pieces buttercups. That's pretty much what I got.
I don't think that per unit is that doesn't work out for me.
See, this is what I go through when I work on your show. Like, I need to have your listeners sponsor this show.
No, I want to do this. I want to do these big commercial reads and all that. It bothers me that I need to do like a Sleep Number commercial or something like that. I need it. I need to sell something. I feel like we're just doing this for free. I know there are commercials in it, but we don't get to read the commercials and all that stuff. So please contact the iHeartMedia sales department. We will sell the hell out of your product. There's a lot of people that listen to this stuff, which shocks me also. All right, Pittsburgh 1-4. At the L.A. Chargers, 2-3. It's on NBC, the Peacock Network, with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Now, the Chargers opened a 5.5-point favorite. They are a 6.5-point favorite in this spot. 6.5-point favorite. I don't like to bet favorites, but I'm going to take the Chargers here. I just got a vibe on this game. Pittsburgh is on like their fifth quarterback. Someone named Devlin Hodges is the chosen one. Mike Tomlin needs divine intervention for Pittsburgh. Steelers have lots of forces working against them. They travel to the West by stagecoach. They have the bye week after this week. So not only do you have the West Coast travel, but then you're on vacation. All of these things are reasons to doubt that this will be a very competitive performance. Now, the Steelers do have a couple of big studs up front, T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, who will be able to enjoy that fish taco offensive line for the Bolts. But that's not going to be a score. You got to move the ball. Secondly, only four teams have been less successful against than the Steelers at moving the ball. Four teams that have been less successful against than the Steelers at moving the ball over the last 3 weeks. That includes Chicago, Washington, Miami, and the Jets. Those are the contemporaries of the Steelers. And that's the competition for Pittsburgh's offense right now, how bad they've been. You would think that the Chargers defense, which has also been spotty, led by Joey Bosa, and they've got injuries and all that, they would be licking their chops going against this Devlin Hodges guy. And the Chargers are statistically good. They're 11th in yards, but have failed the eyeball test. It's very similar to the Titans. Titans, Marcus Mariota has great stats. They don't turn the ball over, they lose. Chargers, you look at the stats, you're like, well, they're not bad. They're not bad. They're not a bad team. But yet, you look at they're under 500. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to take Phillip Rivers and the Lightning Bolts with a rare, comfortable win at Dignity Health Sports Park there, where it'll be 67 degrees. A kickoff, Chargers 33, Steelers 17.
Penny likes the Bolts as well. Last one.
All right, I know you're excited about that. Last one, Gascon. Let's go to Monday Night Football. Just down the street from my brother who lives in Appleton, Wisconsin, because he's an idiot.
Why does he live there?
He wanted to leave L.A. because it's so expensive in California, which I don't blame him for. And he somehow fell in love with small town Wisconsin.
Wow.
And he guy grew up in L.A., grew up in the same house I grew up in, and he lives in Appleton, Wisconsin. And just that's where the teams stay when they play the Packers in Appleton, because there's no hotels in Green Bay. So they stay. I'm not kidding. They stay in Appleton. Anyway, Detroit 2-1-1 at Green Bay 4-1. This is a Booger special, Booger McFarland in the broadcast booth with Joe Tessitore. You kind of remind me of Joe Tessitore.
No way. Not even close. Not even close, man.
Is that offensive when you...
Well, I think he's very polite on a lot of calls, and I think he puts a lot of hot fudge on top of the ice cream. I'll just say that much.
Yeah, I would put him in the hard-o category.
Yeah, same thing.
I think, you got to be careful. You know, you might be working with him some days. You got to be careful about that. Anyway, all right, we'll elbow in on this game. Packers open a 5.5-point favorite. They are a 4-point favorite right now. And the weather is going to be mostly cloudy, 45 degrees at kickoff, starting to a little bit at Lambeau Field. The pick is in. I'm going to take the Lions here. I'm going to take the Lions in this game. I'll tell you why. A, this is a letdown spot for Green Bay. They're coming off a high-profile game, America's Game of the Week last week against the Cowboys. They had a very convincing they ran over Dallas. Now it is back to the doldrums of the NFL schedule. Nobody gets up for the Lions, even though it's a divisional opponent. Aaron Rodgers has also been pretty average. You know, last 4 weeks, Rodgers is the 17th best passer in the NFL. 17th, he's average. Now, the Packers have been able to run the ball, so it hasn't really mattered that much. But the Packers are the toast of the NFL also. Everyone's celebrating that win over Dallas and just fawning all over the Cowboys. I like to bet against teams where everyone's kissing their ass all week. And you can move the ball against that Green Bay defense. You can get some yards. Dallas certainly did that in the second half last week. And Detroit is a fly-under-the-radar team under Matt Patricia. They've been the little engine that could so far, left for dead. They're supposed to be terrible and garbage and all that stuff. Haven't been that way yet. They've overachieved, played the Chiefs tough, beat Philly, and they continue to chug along at a steady pace. Everyone seems to be waiting for all that to grind to a halt here. Matthew Stafford's actually played very well against the Green Bay Packers. In fact, historically good against the Green Bay Packers over his last few games here. And so I know the public loves Green Bay. I get that. But the natural tendency for the Lions is to say, well, they can't win at Lambeau. They can't keep the game close. I say no. I'm going to take the Packers to win, but I believe this will be a field goal game. I'll take the 4 points. Packers 26, Lions 23.
Oh, that is The opposite of the penny. They're going with the Green Bay Packers.
Now, good luck. You know, Green Bay ranks 27th in the NFL in conversions on third down. That's not good.
It's not.
They've converted 30.5% on third down. So that is why. By the way, that Matthew Stafford stat, you want the Matthew Stafford stat?
Sure. What is it?
All right. He has thrown two or more touchdown passes in 9 straight matchups with Green Bay dating back to 2014. Only one player, I used this on the radio show the other night, only one player has gone 10 consecutive games with two or more touchdowns against a single opponent. You know who that is?
I'm going to say Andrew Luck against the Tennessee Titans.
No. You got to go back to the 90s. Dan Marino.
Oh, shit.
For the Miami Dolphins, 1991 to 1997 against the Jets. He won 10 consecutive games with two or more touchdown passes against the Jets.
They have not had a good quarterback since him. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. All right, listen, I hope you had good luck. May you win a lot of money. If you win a lot of money, remember the podcast. If you lose a lot of money, it's not my fault. I have plausible deniability and all that. And have a great weekend. And try the other podcast. You know, this is the Hardo podcast, Gascon, but the other one, we just play grab ass, right?
That's right.
The other one, we just goof around. We do guy talk radio, barely talk about sports, do entertainment conversation, studies and emails and all that stuff. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll be back in the Magic Radio Box on Fox Sunday into Monday, 2 a.m. in the East and 1 a.m. in the West. And enjoy and be safe. Enjoy your week.